So let's get started. So last week, we introduced Hilchos Mukta and Hilchos Tiltul Kelim. Right? We spoke about the fact that there are really two separate gzeiros in Chazal, according to Shulchan Aruch HaRav. There's the Isra of Tiltul Mukta. Tiltul Mukta means handling anything. Doesn't mean touching, like we said. It means handling. Handling anything we saw from the Ramah, that touching in practice is really fine. In theory, is fine. But practically, the Aruch HaShulchan didn't advise it. But in theory, you're not allowed to handle anything which has no utility. We had a get together with Rabbi Tzvi Savalovsky, one of the Rosh Yeshiva from YU. We have video conference meetings occasionally for chaburas. So we, Rabbi Eitan and I, raised your question, Josh, from last week about why money is called Mukta Machmas Gufo. So he concurred with what we thought last week, which was that since the money itself doesn't have the utility, it's simply used as a means to affect the transaction, but it itself isn't useful, therefore it's considered Mukta Machmas Gufo. That was right. That was pretty much the maskana. So we raised that question when we had the chabura. So that's one category. There's mukta machmas gufo, and that stuff we said there's an isser to move it for any purpose in the normal fashion. We'll talk about in the future. There are ways to move it, but the normal fashion you can't handle it. That's A. B. We said there's another gzera, the gzera of isser tiltul kelim, handling kli shemalachto l'isser. So kli shemalachto l'isser, we said that would be like a hammer. Like, I don't know, some other kinds of, equipment that are used for malachas, pens, pencils, those are good klishim malachto l'issers. A rock and a stick is mukta mamish, what we'll call mukta machmas gufo, and a pen, a pencil, that's going to be a klishim malachto l'isser. Scissors also klishim malachto l'isser, yes.
So what were we talking about last week?
Oh, so we said a klishim malachto l'isser is mutter if it's used l'tzorach gufo and l'tzorach makomo. If you're going to use it for its own purpose, meaning for an intent which is mutar on Shabbos, or it's going to be used because you need that particular space. The only case which is, what's that?
It's taking notes on the plate.
Taking notes on the plate. You know what? It's a special Shaivitz iced tea. This is great. One second.
Oh, we're falling. Is there a cookie in the name of the last part of?
Okay.
And Bishul Yisrael, right?
Bishul Yisrael. We make sure that our cook doesn't handle any of the cookies.
It's
glossy,
right?
Yeah, no. I get you a piece of paper here. If I had a piece of paper, go back.
Oh, yeah, no. So that's my house. Do you want
the academic too?
I'm good.
So we said that mechama l'tzel, to move something just for the purpose of protecting it, right, from the sunshine, that's not allowed. Or shalol l'tzorach klal, just to handle it for absolutely no reason, that's aser. But if it's l'tzorach gufo makomo, we say it's mutter. Okay. Right?
Yeah. Did we say that there was a limit on how much it could be devalued from moving?
What do you mean? Say again.
L'tzel. We said that.
Yeah. If you're not using it for a purpose for yourself, if the purpose of moving it is for the sake of the item alone,
right,
then it's a no-go.
Okay.
Save it from being banned. All right, so now, the last time somebody raised the question, because we glossed over Sif Aleph, and this is what I want to focus on tonight, talk about what we called Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. So let's go back, because the Shulchan Aruch dealt with that first, but we kind of glossed over it. Let's go back to page one. Kol HaKelim Nitolim B'Shabbos. All kelim are movable on Shabbos, except chutz mimukta machmas chisaron kis, except for items that are set aside because of their value. Kagon, such as sakin shel shchita, a slaughtering knife. Now, why is the sakin shel shchita called mukta machmas chisaron kis? Well, the first thing is that it's used for slaughtering, which is a malacha. That's the first example. And the reason why it's called chisaron kis is because it's not like your average everyday knife.
You wouldn't use it for an everyday thing.
Because why
it's
not?
So expensive, so valuable.
Why? Why is it so valuable?
Because it can't have any mix in it.
That's right.
It has to be made. It's special.
Exactly. Because it's a specialized piece of equipment, and you want to make sure that it stays in its pristine original state, you can't have any nicks. If you have the slightest nick in your knife, it ruins it. It's disqualified for being a slaughtering knife. I don't know if anybody was familiar with that. And that's why shochtim, when they check their knife, they will check it on their fingernail, and I have experience with this because I learned practical shchita when I was in YU. So I have shechted chickens, and you can feel even the slightest nick on the edge of the blade. So I have a knife at home, and I have a stone, a special stone that's only so it has a leather case, and you don't take it out. You don't just cut anything with it. So it's a specialized piece of equipment. Oh, shel mila, or if you have a mila knife, again, a specialized piece of equipment. Ve'izemel shel svarim. These, let's say you have a sofer, and he has also specialized equipment. V'saken shel sofrim, he has specific equipment for shemesaknim bo ha'kol musim. Says the Shulchan Aruch, kevon shemakpidim shelo lasas behem tashmish acher, since you are careful not to use it for any other tashmish, osur letal telo b'shabbos, you're not allowed to handle it on Shabbos. Va'afilu letzorach makomo o letzorach gufo. Even letzorach gufo makomo. If I come home and the saken shel shchita is on my dining room table, I can't pick it up and move it away so that I can set the table for Shabbos. Okay? So now, yeah.
Letzorach makomo, that makes sense to me. Using it for tzarach gufo wouldn't get into sort of a circular logic, because if you decide you wanted to use your shchita knife to cut your challah, right, then now by definition it's not something that's mukta machmas ksaron kiz because you want to use it.
Excellent. So that gets the key question that's beneath that question itself, which is what determines, who determines whether it's mukta machmas ksaron kiz? So the Mishnah Berurah says in response to that question, he says that it's a subjective determination based on the owner. And when is that determined? At the onset of Shabbos. We'll see that most of the laws of mukta are determined, almost everything that happens in the realm of mukta is determined at the onset of Shabbos. Why? Because when Shabbos starts, that's when we have to be koveya, that's when we set what are kalim that are usable on Shabbos and what are not. And it's going to cut in different directions. We'll talk at some point about a concept called a busis.
No audibles at the line.
No audibles.
Right. So usually not. And it's going to cut both Lahachmer and Lahakel. This case happens to be it's Lahachmer, but other cases it's going to be Lahakel at that way. So what this means now is that when Shabbos starts, if I have my sack and shol shchita, I can't just turn around on Shabbos and now use it to cut my challah or to cut my orange. Mm-hmm. So, and who decided that? I decided that. That's the... But now, the question is, how exactly do we figure out what is makpid? You know, the balabais is going to be koveya. Well, what does it mean that he's makpid? And what is the real rationale? Why did this become usser in the first place? Why do you think it is? Why is this more problematic? Why is it more problematic to move the sack and shol shchita than to move the scissors?
It's as if it has nothing to do, it has no purpose for Shabbos.
Oh, so that's one approach. Maybe it has nothing, it has no utility on Shabbos.
You could come to use it by accident or something.
Okay, maybe it's more likely you're going to use it for Isser because it's exclusively in the direction of Isser. So these are already some important svaras that are going to come up in the Rishonim and the Achronim. But the source of this whole din is the Gemara, because the Gemara says, Sichi Zayir Mizuri, some specialized pieces of equipment. The Gemara says, in that case, it's your Miyachid Lehu Makom. It's duchta miyachedla. And what does that mean? So Rashi says, what that means is your makze midaito. Makzeu midaito. What's the word makzeu midaito? From the word mukta, you set it aside. So if the whole point is that on Shabbos, I'm only using kalim that are meant to be used, that are part of my Shabbos worldview. If this is an item which is so expensive, I'm not going to use it to cut my challah. So when Shabbos enters, when I see that knife on the shelf, what am I thinking? I'm thinking, don't move that knife. Don't move that knife. Because I'm miyachid a makom for it. Because it's expensive. And I don't want it to be used for anything else. So I set it aside. It almost has kind of I've de-utilitied it, so to speak, if that is such a word.
By the same logic, if it happens, if somehow it got left out on the dining room table, should I then be able to move it back into the credenza or something?
That's mechamel
etzel. Oh, so that's the problem. It's mechamel etzel. And I'll tell you, I hear your point. You're trying to say, Reb Dov, that you weren't miyachid in a makom because you left on the dining room table.
By mistake, it was. And in your mind, you're koveya that it should stay in its place even though it wasn't in its place.
I hear you. But the problem is that when Shabbos was set, this is established, even though practically It's not in the right place. Since you yourself will admit that you would have and should have put this in that place, now you agree that this is an item that, according to the good doctor says, has really no utility. Mm-hmm. And Mimela, so now the fact that it's over here doesn't give you any license to move it over there. It's just this Zomechamalit sale. So that's perspective number one.
Can you define how... I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I just don't... Maybe I'm misunderstanding the example of Machma Chisaron Kis. I understood that as being having a loss of money.
Yes, okay.
Is it, if you use it in any way but which is normally designated for, you're going to lose money because you're using a Shechita knife not for Shechita or a Mila knife not for Shechita? Or, I mean, I'm just not understanding how it ties
Gevaldik. So this is a basic Chakira that we need to identify. And what happens is that what's going to come out of this chakira, the point that everybody's making here, is that there are really going to be a bandwidth of opinions on two extremes of how to understand this din. How does the issue of specifying a location and financial loss play in this halacha? So there are really, I'd like to suggest, there are two ways to look at this. And there are different ways in between, but I want to suggest the extreme views, the most... radical on this continuum, and then in between we'll find something in the middle. The first approach suggests that what the Gemara said is that you are miyacheded a makom, you have a special place for it, and therefore makzehu midaito. That's really what's koveya. That's really what it is. And now the Shulchan Aruch later on comes up with this idea that it has to have value, but that's not really what it really means. Having expensive item is just a siman. It's not a siba. It's just a siman. Well, what's the kind of thing I'm going to keep on my shelf? Right. Something that's expensive. But it's not because it's expensive that it's mukta. It's because I'm meyachid a mugum for it. Am I going to wake them up?
So far, so good.
Because you're meyachid a mugum for it, memela, it's mukta. This view, which I would say is a very constructionist view of reading of the Gemara, comes out with the following interesting chumrah. Several chumras. Let's say I have a baseball signed by Hank Aaron. So what would you say in that case? Well, in the Gemara, the case of the Gemara case with these sichi, zayim, mizari, these pins that are used for specialized equipment, like weaving kind of thing, and the cases in the Shulchan Aruch happen to be cases of sak and shel shechita and books that are being fixed. All those are kelim shel melachtam liser.
But they're somewhat kedusha related too.
Maybe yes, maybe not necessarily, because let's say the bookmaker, right? Sefer could be any. So what would you say about this? What would you say about the batting, the baseball? So on the one hand, how could it be... Let's assume it's a kli for a second. Let's assume a baseball is a kli. How could it be mukta machmas chisar and kis? It's not a sakin shel shechita. It's not a malachto liyisr. But this first approach will say, doesn't matter. The ikar is that you're makzeu midaito, that you set it aside. Memela... The fact that the Shulchan Aruch says Chisron Kis doesn't really matter. It's really whether you're Makatzir Midaito, and therefore, even if it's a Kli Shal Heter, it also could be exactly.
But by the same token, while a Sakin Shal Mila or Shechita will always be Makatzir Midaito, if I know that you're coming over to my house for Shabbos lunch and you're a huge Hank Aaron fan, I know that I'm planning on Friday, my brand's coming over, I'm going to show him this baseball, then it's not Makzeh Midaito, and then that week I should be able to use it.
In Achanami. So we're going to get to this. You could be Mazmin Mukta. You can reassign the value because of what we said before, David, we pointed out that it's totally in the das of the Balabayas, so every Shabbos could be a different story. Could be this week I won the lottery. Well, last week I was very careful that I had a particular item. I was very careful about it. It was expensive. This week I won the lottery. So now... So then this week, it wouldn't be Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis.
Unlike the Sakin Shel Shechita.
Well, that also. Let's say I have 100 Sakin Shel Shechita. I don't really care. I'll use the Sakin Shel Shechita. So for me, it's not Machmas Chisaron Kis. So the Mishnah Brura adds another interesting dimension. What if you have a very large Kli that that you're miyached it a makom. And you don't want to move it from there.
Like a laptop.
So a laptop may have both elements. It may have the financial element. But according to this machmashi, it doesn't even have to be a laptop. It could be, one could conceive, maybe even a refrigerator. I have a duchta miyached, I have a place, even built in, many people have built in their cabinets their refrigerator. So that, is the refrigerator mukta machmas chisaron kis per se, qua financial loss? Not so much, in the sense that I don't worry that if someone moves my fridge, they're going to break it. What's a very good...
it's not very mobile.
Right, but let's say I wanted to pull it out on Shabbos and get the dirt out from under there. Let's say I dropped something under the fridge. So this approach may say, look, you have a duchta miyached law. It's a very large item that you cannot never move. It doesn't mean you have to, you never, ever, ever in your life move it. But you have it in a very specific place. So if you have a specific place for it, it's not a klishal isser, theoretically, really. You're mishtamish bo all the time. But one could consider that also. Now here comes another suggestion. Let's say I have a wall hanging. Wall hanging. Let's say the wall hanging is not even expensive. Based on this analysis, any wall hanging which I don't plan to take down and utilize, I have duchta miyached lo. So taka the quote from the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish thinks that the pictures that hang on the wall, that looks like an expensive picture. I don't know what it's a
just ketuba.
It looks like from the. It looks like from the medieval.
It looks
this,
like 200 zuz.
It looks like five shekel in the Ashram.
Oh man! Don't give that away. This looks like one of your travels in Europe. You unearthed with your own hands in the Rhineland. That's right. This came from the Rhineland in 12th century. So apparently it's not an original Rhineland artifact.
It's a knockoff.
But according to the Chazon Ish, that's muktzah on Shabbos. Why? Because it's duchta miyached lo. Because you have a special place for it. Yeah.
So like a kitchen table, by that, or any piece of furniture that sits in a specific spot in your room. Oh. I mean, how far would you go with this?
Oh, very good. So I would assume that what he means is, well, the Chazon Ish, I didn't see it inside, but there's a long essay quoted in the Or HaShabbos, which is the sefer that we referenced last time. He has a long essay on exactly... David, your question, and he suggests the Chazon Ish, he quotes from the Chazon Ish, that the pshat is, it depends on what is ragil, what is normally moved and used, as opposed to an alternative definition, which is ro'oi. You could have said, what's possible to move? The Chazon Ish says, no, and it's l'shitaso. He says, what do I usually move? Well, I usually don't move the things on my wall. Memela, according to the Chazon Ish, the things on my wall are muktzah. Why? Because it all comes back to the same definition the Chazon Ish has for mukta, machmas chesron kis, has nothing to do with value. It has to do with, do you set aside a special place for it? And therefore, makzeo midaito, you've just put it out of your mind.
So the Chazon Ish kind of has this baseline view that pretty much, unless you have a use for something on Shabbos, forget it.
Exactly. Exactly. So now, you can now introduce one more potential chumrah with this line of argumentation. What do I say about a candle? What's the story with a candle? A wax candle. What would be the status of a wax candle on Shabbos?
Unlit
wax candle.
Well, what's its purpose?
So, I would have said its purpose is for lighting. Mm-hmm. So, what would it be? Right, that's what I would have thought. So, the Mishnah Brewer quotes a Moruk Tzia. The Moruk Tzia was authored by Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He suggests, no. He thinks it's mukta mamish. Mukta mamish, why? Because he says it's like mukta machmas chisaron kis. Why? Why is it mukta machmas chisaron kis? He says, you know why? He doesn't explain it this way, but this is what many Acharonim suggest. It's a new idea, which is called kol malachto le'iser. If you have an item which its exclusive use normally is for iser, it's not just a klisha malachto le'iser, it's kol malachto le'iser. That's a new category. So this approach has numerous levels of chumrah to it. This final chumrah is saying, and this fits with the issue of chisar and kis. It's saying that if I have a cell phone, if I have a fan, an electric fan, What would I have said about an electric fan? So there's a little bit of an issue, interesting question, what's called the hishtamshus of an electric fan. But some poskim say, well, what's the hishtamshus of the electric fan? It's turning it on and off. This Rav Schechter has an approach like this. So that's an isser. And what do you do with the fan? All you do is turn it on and off. Do you ever use your fan as a door stopper? No.
Sure.
It's not rogel to use for anything else. Memela, that becomes now kol malachto le'isser. Why? Because it goes back to what you said at the beginning. You don't intend to use it for anything else. Therefore, you're makzeu midaito.
Yeah, but what if you leave your fan on all the time? And like, it's not like its purpose is to turn it on.
Oh, so this, gewaldig. So this is a huge, this is the machlokas. This is like a sub-machlokas between Rav Schechter and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a suggestion. He thinks that the fan might ikar adin be a klishu malachto leheter. Because blowing isn't an isser. But he's molded that because, and this is the Orcha Shabbos develops this idea, that since it's karach b'malacha, it involves a switch that is a malacha, so it's not going to be, Rav Moshe says you shouldn't treat it like a klisha malacha lehet, a klisha malacha le'isser. But Rav Moshe says, it's mutter. Why? Because he rejects this whole notion of kol malacha le'isser. But what's the underlying logic?
An oven. Like an oven is the same as a
l'chor in ochanami. L'chor in ochanami. So you should say the oven is muktzah machmas chesron kis. It's a good kasha. She asked Rav Schechter, how it should be kol malachto le'isser in Achanami.
You're saying to open it on Shabbos, to open the door.
Yeah, to open the door on Shabbos should be an isser. Should be an isser because kol malachto. I hear you. It's taka good kasha. Because what we're saying now is that the underpinning of the isser of muktzah machmas chesron kis is what was called extreme haktzah. Extreme moving it out of your mind, and that will include, we've now given quite a few categories. That means even if it's a klisha heter, if you move it away, if you have a special place for it, even if it's not super valuable, and anything which is exclusively used for Isser, and therefore when Shabbos starts, you put it out of your mind. So that would be, let's say, my cell phone. What's the litmus test for whether it's kol malachto le'isser? Probably just a basic, you know, hands-on. Do I ever use it for any other utility? Do I ever use my cell phone for anything except for making phone calls? So, paperweight possibility, says the Chazanish. Chazanish says it's not rogel for a paperweight. Maybe other posts can be more lenient. They would say it has to be roy, but this is one approach. The other approach, which is the exact opposite approach, which is Ramosha's approach, is totally different. He says, no. It's not about the fact that you're miyachidit a makom, per se. If I take a baseball and say, this baseball is a chush of a baseball, I'm never going to move it. Rav Moshe says, so what? He has a couple of tshuvas about this topic. He says, so what? That's not the issue. The issue is chesron kis. Chesron kis is not a simon, it's the siba. It's the sibas ha-haktza'a. It's the rationale. That's the driving force. If you say this, so now you have a whole different story. He follows, this will follow a Tosfos against the Chazon Ish, that it's not dependent on what's rogil, it's on what's roi. What's possible? What's possibly used for this? Comes out, so now we have several nafkaminas. The first one is the baseball. A klisha malachto leheter. Is it shaykh to talk about mukta machmas chisar and kis on a klisha malachto leheter? No. No, because you could always take that heter and use it for something else. It's roy to use for something else. It's possible. Because the definition is that it's so expensive, it'll only be used for isser. So therefore, it's got to be isser. Number two, it's got to be very expensive. Rav Moshe would say, and others, other poskim would say, so what that you're duchto miyachid la, if it's not expensive? But that because it's not expensive, you may take it right off the wall. The whole driving force here is the fact that it's chesron kis. Memela, if it's not chesron kis, the fact that you're miyachin amokom, amokom writes in the tshuva. Yichud mokom is not kovei anything. Therefore, it doesn't matter.
We do have a question. You can't have a bris on Shabbos, right? So I automatically, I'm just thinking of that Gemara talks about carrying lulav.
Oh, so this is a great kasha.
Megillah and shofar and Okay, you know where I'm going.
This is a great kasha. So your kasha is, how can you use the Mila knife on Shabbos?
How can you?
How can you? So the answer is probably going to be that you are miyachated to be used for a heter purpose, the Mila. But there is a huge brouhaha on the Rishonim and the Achronim. What do you do after the bris is over?
Just drop it.
Do you have to drop it? Do you have to just put it away immediately? Or do you have a heter to carry through the rest of the day? So that's an interesting shaila. But I think the further question that you were asking, probably, was why weren't they gozer against the Mila knife?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's, you just showed me, yeah, just showed me today. It's a vart that Rav Shechter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik. You want to tell it over? Oh, I got him at a bad time. But Rav Eitan just showed me a good teretz to that kasha. There probably are several tirutz. In the simple teretz is there's a taz that people love to quote this taz, because the taz appears in a couple of places and it became like, there are certain things that I don't know why people say it's the famous this. This is what people say, the famous Taz. The famous Taz, it's only famous to the people who know it. So I don't know why it's called the famous Taz. But the people who know it call it the famous Taz. And the Taz has a yesod, and that is, he says, the rabbis can never assert something that the Torah itself says is permitted.
Explicitly.
The Torah explicitly says you do a bris on Shabbos. The rabbis will never come and assert that.
Yes.
Thank God. He says, basar alaso, the eighth day. Yeah. And the Gemara says, Bayom afilu b'shabbos. It means it has to be done on the eighth day. Masharenkin, let's say, lulav and rush and shofar. It doesn't say anything about what happens if it falls on Shabbos.
Yeah.
It just says, you blow the shofar. So the Gemara doesn't have any specific drasha to allow you to blow the...
Is that why Yom Kippur? You fast on Yom Kippur because... On Shabbos, Yom Kippur. Because it says on that day...
Right, so certainly. So Rav Soloveitchik has another twist on this. Go ahead.
He said, anytime the rabbis came and prohibited something, so if you violate it, it's like you rabbinically violated the Daraisa. For example, he said, don't shake lulav on Shabbos. So if I shook lulav, why? Because I might carry it outside.
Right.
So if I shook lulav, it's as if I carried outside midrabbanan, even though it's not related. Or let's say they said, if in certain situations you shouldn't take medicine because it's like if you might grind medicine. So if I took medicine when I shouldn't, it's like I ground on. It's like I did token grinding on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So he says, what were they going to say by Mila? If you do the Mila on Shabbos, it's like you cut skin on Shabbos. You're allowed to cut skin on Shabbos for Mila. Mm-hmm. So the rabbis, there was nothing to say to prohibit because it was already permitted. So they couldn't say, well, it's as if you did this other thing because that other thing is permitted. So,
the only answer is the chisaron kiss, and
well, that's the rabbanan hanging around that. Probably because you set it aside before Shabbos. I mean, the mohel knows he's scheduled for
exactly.
I guess it'd be interesting if, let's say, someone comes knocking on the mohel's door. He didn't know he had the bris,
right.
And then someone knocks on his door. You know, Shabbos morning says, "Can you come do this bris?" So does he need to know before Shabbos?
Good question. I don't know anything about that.
What are you supposed to do with the sake and the bris knife before Shabbos? Or before, up until the Mila? Is it supposed to be under the bima and then you pull it out and...
I assume that before, you just bring it as you would regularly because you have the heter to prepare it.
And the heter is it, but you cannot... Still can't carry it.
No, but you can carry it. Well, again, we're not talking about carrying. There are two questions here.
No, but that's the reason why you can't do shofar on...
So one second. So that's what I'm saying. We're talking about two separate issues here. Right? In our topic, we're talking about handling, not carrying. Carrying is a separate question. We're talking about the knife is in the shul. The knife is in the house. The question is, what do you do afterwards? Is it right. Still retain the status of muktzah? But you're correct. Let's say you lived in a place in a chanami. Let's say you lived in a place where there's no eruv and there's no knife there. You're out of luck. You're out of luck. You're done. Yeah, you're done. There's a whole question: can you ask a non-Jew? You know. But the bottom line is, you're not allowed to violate carrying to enable you to do the bris. We're talking about whether or not the knife has the status of muktzah, even though usually it's muktzah machmas chesron kiss. Oh, so now. Rav Moshe now also says, and Rav Ovadia, his son, quotes other Achronim in the Yalkut Yosef to support this, that it only makes sense to talk about Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kiss on a Kli Shel Iser. Because if it's a Kli Shel Heter, you might use it for something else. If it's a Kli Shel Iser, only if it's a Kli Shel Iser with Chisaron Kiss, so then it's going to be Usser. So say, for example, your fan. So what that it's called malachto le'iser? It's not expensive. There you go. So now your fan is no longer. We wouldn't accept the whole notion of kol malachto le'iser. So this is a huge machlokas min hakotze el
hakotze. Wait a second. The kol malachto le'iser is. They're saying it has to be something that's valuable. Otherwise, it's worth. You can't use that.
The second approach is saying there's no such thing as kol malachto le'iser. The Mishnah Berurah himself says about the candle, he says the klisha malachto le'iser. Its only utility is for a candle. It doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter? The answer is because it's not valuable. Okay. The chesron kis, the litmus test is always going to be, according to the Mekilim, this whole other approach is always going to be the chesron kis. The truth is, they kind of reflect the two different emphases. The first approach, the Machmirim, are really rooted in the way the Gemara formulates it, of Makzeu Midaito, Miyach Lo Makom, like Rashi explains the Gemara. But the Mekilim are really rooted in the Shulchan Aruch. You read straight Shulchan Aruch, it formulates it as a Mukza Machmas Chisaron Kis, as an issue of financial loss. And the cases he gives you are all Klisha Malachto Le'iser. So now, at the end of the day, how do we summarize? So, if we have this this idea of the Mekilim, we will measure everything by its worth. Now, it goes back to what, maybe this, Reb Shalom, was what you were saying before. How do you determine what's called Chisaron Kis? So I think the simple way to determine that is the relative value for the owner and how he treats it. Because even those who say it's about money also associate it with putting it in a specific place. I'll give you an example. Do you let your kids play with it? That is a perfect test of whether something is chisaron kis or not. Mm-hmm. Let's say there are people who have two cell phones. They have a BlackBerry and they have a cell phone. Like my father has a BlackBerry for work and he has a cell phone. So my kids, when they come, so he lets them play with his cell phone. And I don't remember if he does or doesn't let them play with his BlackBerry. But if I leave my cell phone lying around the house, say in my house, anything that was with, I don't know about anybody else's house, but if it's within hand's reach of 4 feet from the floor, so it's going to get played with and thrown and smacked. So anything that I leave lying around, by definition, is not called a kli she'umuk tzumach mas chesron kis, because I don't care to put it away in a specific place. Mashen came my wallet. I don't leave my wallet lying around. I put it in a drawer, I put it in a place where the kids are not going to get it. And if I see one of my kids holding my wallet, I ask him for it back. I want my credit cards at the end of the day. Otherwise, they're going to be gone. Again, I don't know what it's like in your house, but somehow, occasionally you find like there's a trail of cash, yes, and like random cards and my JCC card, everything is like... So that's Mukta Machmas Chesron Kis, because I invest a lot of money in that and I want to keep it in a special place. So every person's household is going to be different. But if you have a laptop, so let's go back to Reb Dov's point. If you have a laptop that you let your kids play with when you're not watching it, so it's a shiloh, whether it's chesron kis. I will tell you that it could be that that's a mistake. Bididi hava uvda. I will now turn off the recording. Well, Ari can hear this. Maybe it'll make him feel better one day. This past Friday morning, I had to take my kids to shul, so I was leaving them in the other room in our Torah. I put on a DVD or whatever for them. And I come back, and Aryeh had found a water bottle in Ilan's bag and emptied the entire water bottle into my laptop. I took the laptop and I put it on the side, and water was flowing from the laptop. Now, Ilan explained to me afterwards that Aryeh thought it was thirsty. Going him. I love my children. So now my laptop. So that's a big shiloh. Is my laptop really a chesron kis? The answer is yes. I was an idiot. I should have never given my kids the laptop to watch it when I wasn't looking at it. Obviously, a laptop is mukta machmas chesron kis. It's more than $1,000, that laptop. So every person is going to be koveh for themselves. So now let's just make a sikkum. We tried to organize this into two different approaches, and then there are some who fall in between. But the machmir approach says that it's really totally in the yachid l'makom. And therefore, even if it's a kli shel heter, even if it's not so much value, if it's kol malachto le'iser, those are three examples that we would be machmir on, according to the most extreme machmir. According to the most mekilim, we would say no. It's all totally whether it's a kli shel iser, and the value of it puts it in the category of muktzah, specialized muktzah. And therefore what? Therefore, if you have a kli shel heter, it's not going to be muktzah. If you're duchta miyachid lo, just because, even if it's not valuable.
I still don't get why the kli shel heter that's expensive
To go to Aris, so this is where Rav Ovadia Sefer, they explain it, because they say, what's the whole vort here? The whole vort here is that we need a reason to say that this thing is bumped up in the gradation of Muktzah. The fact this Mahalach is saying, it's not that you're miyachid a makom for it, that's enough. Because if you're miyachid a makom for a Dover Shal Heter, that doesn't matter. What's the pshat? Oh, because they say the following. They say, the point is you're taking something that is a klishal iser, and you're specializing it because of the value. But just because something has a lot of value, if it's a klishal heter, maybe you'll turn around and change your mind. Inherently, there's nothing that says when Shabbos starts that I'm going to stay away from this. My laptop, when Shabbos starts, I know I'm going to stay away from my laptop because it's a klishal iser. Masha Ein came, the baseball is exactly like you said. Maybe baseball is a klishal heter. The fact that I put it in the closet, but maybe somebody will come and they'll want to see my baseball. And I have no reason to be miyachid that as an iser, so I'll change my mind. But there's nothing wrong with changing my mind because if it wasn't an iser, I'll be halacha to begin with. And since it's not an issue of being miyachid a makom, memela, you can't claim that there's an iser on that.
It has to be an iser thing first, and then it has to
be. Exactly.
And it's an iser thing that could theoretically be used for something for heter.
Right. Well,
maybe
or
even worth talking about.
Right. If it couldn't be used for heter, if it's kol malachtol iser, so then the mekilim will still probably maintain that
it's worthless, then who cares?
Right. If it's worth nothing, so then it's probably mukta mamish. But if it's, let's say, your fan. Let's assume that a fan is kol malachtol iser. So the mekilim will say, and this is what Rabbi Willig, one of the fellows called Rabbi Willig, they said, what do you think about this whole machlokas? He said, look, it's a machlokas of poskim, but he says that the minig is lahakel on the fan. That we don't accept the chumrah of kol malachtol iser. Because it's not an expensive item, and you can't say that you have a special place for it. Let's say if I was in camp and I needed to prop open my drawers, I would use my fan. Even though it's kol malachtol iser, but it's not chesr and kis. So what comes out is, according to the Mekilim, which I think, again, I'm not a posik, so I can't tell you what it is, but I think the minhag olam is lahakel on many of these shilas. And that is that when you have an electric appliance, if it's expensive, so then it's going to be considered muktzah. It's going to be considered muktzah of muktzah machmas chisar and kis. But if you have an electric appliance that's not expensive, so we're not going to accept the chumrah probably of kol malachtol iser. And therefore, you can move the fan, letzorach gufo makomo. Let's say I have my cell phone on the table, and it's not an expensive cell phone. I let my kids play with my cell phone. It's no problem. So then I can move the cell phone off the table. But I have a laptop. The laptop, avada. I should never let my kids play with my laptop. That's crazy. It's going to end up with water in the laptop. That's mukta machmas, chisar and kis.
To that first shita that we've been calling the machmir shita, is there a way to construct a kula out of those assumptions? Is there something, say, that's both expensive and a klish malachtol iser, but because you're not miyachi lo makom, somehow it would not fall into that rubric? I'm trying to think of an example. I can't, but...
You have a place for something else.
No, you don't have a place. It hangs out in your room.
The problem is that it's a catch-22, because since chesr and kis is subjective, what's considered valuable is subjective.
So defining it in terms of the...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if you're not miyach al-makam, it must be it's not expensive for you. It must be it's not so valuable. You're talking about a case where I know it's... Right. You're talking about Ruvain Brand, who knows that his laptop is valuable, but he still gives his laptop to his kids. That's the thing. You're not miyachin among them, and you know it's chesr and kis. That's a good question. But I would say batel daito, etel kol atom.
Fair enough.
So, okay. It's like electric baby toys are not chesr and kis.
Well, they're not chesr and kis. Yeah, for sure not chesr and kis. So you can move them letzorach gufo makomo. So I want to just close with one more nakuda on this point, based on the chakira that we had last week. Last week, we set up a dichotomy between mukta mamish and klisha malachta le'isser. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is not the only one who takes a side on this, but Rabbi Kiva Eger says explicitly, he suggests the following. He says, even though mukta machmas chisaron kis is a super version of mukta, and you don't have the heter of letzorach gufo makomo, nonetheless, he suggests, it still has the status of a kli. It's not the equivalent of dirt. And therefore, it has the following nafkamina. Let's say I accidentally picked something up, and I realized it was mukta machmas chisaron kis. So remember, we quoted the Mogen Avraham, who says you don't have to drop it right away. It's not like a nickel that you have to shake it out of your pocket and shul when you find it on Friday night. What do you say? You say, since it's still the kli, according to Rabbi Gevager, you can do tiltol aruch. I can continue to move it when I picked it up by accident. That was one nafkamina. Another nafkamina might be that heter of kikar otinok, that I could put something that's a heter item on top of my laptop and move it away. Why? Because it still has the status, perhaps, again, I'm not sure about this, because this I didn't see beferish. Usually, the heter of kikar otinok is only for a kli shel malach to l'iser, but I wonder if you could even say it for muktamach meschisar and kis, according to Rabbi Kivager. But the idea is that certainly, according to that, the first idea of tiltol aruch, that once you picked it up, if you accidentally found that you're carrying your expensive cell phone on Friday night in your jacket pocket, you don't have to shake it out, because it still has the status of a kli, according to Rabbi Gevager, and therefore you could carry it all the way home, just like a kli shel malach to l'iser, as opposed to a mukta mamish. So that kind of ties the two.
With the knife.
Yes, you could. That would be another angle on the tiltol aruch. Okay, so that's kind of like different posts can fall on the scale, but those are the two different fundamental approaches. And Mirtz Hashem, we will resume next week.